You're listening to Movie Snark, making fun of what comes out of Hollywood. Explicit language guaranteed. I'm Archie Andrico, and you'll hear my voice a lot, though there will be guest readers. All abridged scripts come from the-editing-room.com. This time it's Blade Runner, written by Alex W., read by Archie Andrico. Fade in. Over a black screen appears nice, large, legible introduction text that everyone in the theater can read, Denis Villeneuve. Intro text. The year is 2019. Special cops called Blade Runners must hunt down and kill runaway androids called replicants. This was not called execution because that's something you do to human beings. It was instead called retirement, which is a thing human beings do. Pause. Clearly, they hadn't quite got the hang of distancing terminology yet. I mean, discontinued was right there. We pan over dark, dreary, rainy future Los Angeles with its flying cars and zoom in on the Terrell Corporation. Interior, Terrell Corporation. Blade Runner Morgan Paul is giving an empathy test to Breon James to see if he's a replicant. Morgan Paul. First question. A hurricane decimates one of your island territories. 80% has no power or water. You throw rolls of paper towel at them and say it's all their fault anyway. Breon James.
What? No, I fucking don't. This test is stupid. Nobody would ever fail this in a million years.
Morgan Paul. Yeah, I guess you're right. I'll have to try something more subtle, like, I don't know. Your mama is so fat she doesn't start a new life in the off-world colonies. She is an off-world colony.
Breon James. You got me. But since I'm trying to lay low and infiltrate my way into Terrell, I should probably dispose of you as quietly as possible. Or, then again, shoot the fuck out of you and the wall behind you. Destroys entire room. Cool. Now I just gotta figure a way out of the top of this huge, giant office building where I just loudly murdered a cop. Or we could just cut away to exterior, the dirty, grimy, blechy streets of Los Angeles, 2019. Cars fly overhead as Harrison Ford jadedly eats street food. Just then, Harrison Ford, VO, record scratch, freeze frame.
Darren, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Harrison Ford.
What the fuck?
Harrison Ford, voiceover.
So yeah, this movie is called Blade Runner, which is my job. I'm a Blade Runner. I hunt down renegade androids in this movie starring me, Harrison Ford, playing a Blade Runner.
Harrison Ford. Oh god, shut up. Holy fuck, why did the studio insist on adding you?
Edward James Olmos, arriving. Fucked if I know. I mean, in 2 seconds the shop owner points at you, saying Blade Runner real loud. Seems pretty obvious.
Handed note.
You come now, okay? Brilliant.
Fuck, am I really supposed to talk like that?
They go over to Edward's car and prepare to fly.
Harrison Ford.
Prepare for launch. On my count, 3, 2, 1.
Harrison and Edward take a deep breath and then rip huge synchronized explosive farts in perfect unison, allowing the flying car to take off. Interior police station. Harrison and Edward fly the flying car to Chief M. Emmett Walsh's office. M. Emmett Walsh.
We need your help, Harrison. There's replicants on the loose. The deadliest ones ever. 4 of them. This is a big fucking crisis.
Harrison Ford.
And I guess you'll have the whole department on this?
M. Emmett Walsh.
Yep. Except the whole department is exactly 2 guys. Edward, who does nothing but make fucking origami, and Morgan, who just got shot to shit. So that's why you're here.
Harrison Ford, sighs.
You need my help fragging these robots, huh?
M. Emmett Walsh. Not robots. They're genetically designed organic beings, so essentially humans.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, well that creates a bit of a gray area, ethics-wise.
M. Emmett Walsh. But they're built to live only 4 years, during which time they're either labor or sex slaves, and then they die. And they don't have fake memories, so slavery is literally the only life they ever know.
Harrison Ford.
That sounds horrible.
M. Emmett Walsh. Oh, but that's not all. The lack of any life experience also gives them the emotional maturity of a toddler. So essentially, it's child slave labor, but put inside adult bodies so we can fuck.
Harrison Ford.
Now I'm gonna puke. In fact, hang on a sec.
Vomits uncontrollably.
Boy, okay, I'll do this job so long as it's understood that we're the bad guys in this situation.
M. Emmett Walsh. I don't see how anyone could miss that. Anyway, back to briefing. We know the skin jobs want something from the Terrell Corporation and are trying to infiltrate it. Except the one taking odd jobs at sleazy bars. Who the fuck knows what her deal is?
Harrison Ford.
I guess Mr. Terrell himself is under constant guard.
M. Emmett Walsh.
Oh, Lord, no. Wanders around by himself, mostly. Anyway, I want you to go over there and test one of their new models.
Harrison obligingly goes to his new flying car and sets out for Terrell Corporation. Cue, sweeping syntho soundtrack by Vangel, the film composer with a soul. Whoops, he experienced a moment of perfect bliss. Now he's Vangelis. Interior Terrell Corporation. Harrison arrives in his flying car and meets Terrell himself along with Sean Young.
Terrell.
I know you're here to test the awesome advanced new replicant model I have, but, why don't you test some random human first? Now, where could we find a human? Oh, hey, Sean, you're 100% human. How about we test you? Sean Young, face palms. Harrison Ford.
All right, first question. You get cast as a villain in a goofy comedy. The film does well at the box office, but also tries to score cheap laughs by lazily mocking non-cisgendered people. Your husband quotes the movie incessantly for months.
Sean Young. Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a social justice warrior, Mr. Ford?
Harrison Ford. Actually, with those shoulder pads, I thought you might be a left tackle. Heyo! Can I get a high five in here?
Left hanging. Sean Young. Sighs. Having successfully tested a way more advanced replicant than the ones he's hunting, and learned basically fuck all that's relevant to this urgent task at hand, Harrison finally decides to start tracking leads in the case. Interior Breon James's shitty piece of shit crap apartment. Harrison and Edward arrive in their flying car to search for clues.
Harrison Ford. Right. After combing through the place, I found a bunch of Breon's photos and also the scale from some kind of animal. How'd you do?
Edward James Olmos. I made the matchstick man.
Eats crayons.
Harrison Ford.
Seriously, are you even a cop?
Exterior, rain-soaked, dirty, smelly, pissed streets of Los Angeles. Rutger Hauer and Breon James approach James Hong's eyeball shop in the shadow of flying cars overhead. James Hong.
Hello. Are you here to buy synthetic eyes? Does this really happen often enough for me to keep this store afloat? Are synthetic eyes this year's Christmas fad toy?
Piers.
Wait a sec. You guys are Nexus 6. I made your eyes.
Rutger Hauer, wistfully.
Ah, if only you could see what I've seen with your eyes.
James Hong.
Funny you mention. I was thinking that if I plugged your brain into a TV somewhere, I could do exactly that. Maybe make copies for friends? I mean, since we can implant memories, then we can probably also read.
Rutger Hauer.
Don't be a smartass. Tell me how to get to Terrell.
James Hong.
You know he lives at Terrell Corp and there's an elevator straight to his rooms. Have you tried overpowering the guards and busting in there? You already have a trail of bodies behind you.
Rutger Hauer sighs.
Yes, but we were hoping for something less actiony, more keeping with the trance-like melancholy of the film's mood. If you know someone cooped up alone in a giant, desolate building, then it'd be way better.
Interior Harrison's crummy, dirty, squalid shit apartment. Harrison uses his flying car to go home and finds Sean Young quietly hovering in a flying car in the corridor. Sean Young.
I know you think I'm a replicant, my memories are fake, but could a vast interplanetary genetic engineering company possibly have the resources to falsify this grainy photograph?
Harrison Ford.
Those aren't your memories, Sean. They're Terrell's nieces.
Sean Young.
Oh, but isn't that weird he would give me family memories when I maybe live with him or work with him? Come to think of it, what the fuck do I think I actually do at Terrell Corps? Shouldn't he have chosen some total stranger I have no chance of ever meeting for source memories? I'm just saying.
Harrison Ford.
I'm sorry, Sean. Look, I got drinking to do, so if you could vamoose.
1992 director's cut.
Plus, I need to think about unicorns.
What? Sean flies off, visibly upset. Harrison gets his drink on, then decides to analyze Breon James' photos with his future photo enhancement machine that has crazy advanced voice recognition software, able to decipher slurred, drunken slang, but that it also makes flappa-wappa sounds like a 1970s slideshow projector. Harrison Ford.
And now to inspire roughly 240 million scenes from crime procedural shows.
To machine.
Pan left. Enhance. Rotate. Enhance 21 to 35 left. Pan. Scan. Wait a sec. Enhance 44 to 58 right. B12. Hit. B11. Sunk. Rotate. Crop left. Add sepia filter. Enhance. Go back. Pan up 12. Enhance 23 to 88 right. Stop. Wait a minute. Fill my cup. Put some liquor in it. Enhance. Pan 69 left. Nice. Enhance. Enhance.
Having zoomed into molecular level resolution, Harrison reads the DNA strand on screen and realizes it is Joanna Cassidy. Interior, giant, desolate building. As flying cars fly futuristically overhead, genetic engineer William Sanderson stumbles across Daryl Hannah covered in grime and garbage. Since this describes roughly half of future Los Angeles, he overlooks that part and invites her into his home. Daryl Hannah.
So, you, live here alone? Do you see Terrell often? Can you bring strangers with you? Forgive my idle curiosity that has no ulterior motive.
William Sanderson.
Yep, I'm all alone here. Except for my robot friends that I built. They provide invaluable companionship by bumping into shit and saying, good morning, JF. The thing is, I suck at my job.
Daryl Hannah.
That's okay. I think you're awesome and smart and sweet, and I'd love to introduce you to my hot, dripping, wet boyfriend, Rutger Hauer. He just jogged in from the rain, which is why he is both hot and dripping wet.
Grins.
William Sanderson sighs.
Okay, fine. I'll be your plot device, whatever.
Interior sleazy bar. Aided by his flying car, Harrison tracks Joanna Cassidy to a sleazy club where Joanna has decided to lay low and blend into human society by being a professional snake fucker. While waiting for the show, Harrison decides to call Sean from a payphone because their future society has invented flying cars and fully genetically engineered humanoid life forms, but not cell phones. Harrison Ford.
Hey, wanna come get shit-faced with me at the skeezy dive? Sean Young.
Well, that sounds disgusting. Fuck you.
Hangs up, grabs coat, and rushes off to meet Harrison in the next scene. Announcer.
Welcome. It is time for the snake walking to begin. Watch or take the pleasure from the snake and listen to me horribly butcher this German accent.
After the snake fucking ends, Harrison goes to Joanna's dressing room. Harrison Ford, nerdy voice.
Hi, I'm an ethics watchdog. Not sure why I'm goofing around instead of immediately blowing your brains out. Perhaps you'd care to get the drop on me?
Joanna begins clobbering Harrison and is about to choke him dead, but Joanna Cassidy.
Uh-oh, random douchebags walked in. I could snap Ford's neck easily, overpower them and escape, or
Joanna instead lets Harrison go and then runs off. Harrison Ford, unmangling himself.
Ugh, dang, the apprehending part of blade running is always so much harder than the tracking down part. It's odd that they send human cops with human strength and endurance to catch these genetically engineered super strong, super tough beings. You know, it might make more sense if... Anyway, I should chase Joanna.
Exterior, rain-slicked, grimy, pukey streets of Los Angeles. Joanna furtively looks for an escape route amongst the teeming crowds and flying cars. Joanna Cassidy.
Let's see, there's roughly a zillion hiding spots to pick from. Hell, with this mob of people around, I could probably just duck. Or I could try shoving my way through this crowd with my head visible. That's better.
Harrison Ford.
I can't get clear shot. Nobody reacting to me. Wildly aiming gun around.
Joanna Cassidy.
Damn, he's not giving up. I should grab a rando human, use him as a shield as I charge, then get back to clobbering. Or, hey, a nice open space to dash into. Now there's an option.
Harrison Ford.
Whew. Finally, a really easy wide open shot for me to take.
Takes deep breath, stretches, shoots. Joanna Cassidy. Hit.
Well, guess I'll run through some glass panes then. That'll help.
Harrison Ford. By street burrito. Shoots again. Joanna Cassidy. Hit again.
Ooh. That smarts. Well, perhaps smashing through more glass will ease the pain.
Harrison Ford reads newspaper while munching burrito, does Sudoku, shoots once more. Joanna Cassidy, hit once more.
Ouchie! Don't think they've made the glass that'll take my mind off of that one.
Dead. Eventually, Walsh and Olmos show up, and Joanna's corpse is carted off. M. Emmett Walsh.
Good job, Harrison. Hey, only three left, right? Oh, and Sean Young ran off, so you gotta kill her, too. Bye.
Harrison Ford.
Fuck, that was a lot of work tracking down one replicant. This is gonna go on forever, so how about let's say Sean is standing right over there and Breon James is right over here.
Breon James begins pounding the shit out of Harrison and is gonna murder him dead, but at the last second, Sean shoots Breon. Harrison Ford, pile of hamburger.
Sometimes I think I'm not actually that good at blade running.
Interior, Harrison's awful, horrible, gloomy shit apartment. As the engines of flying cars gently titter outside, Harrison goes to remove his shirt while Sean Young slips out of her NFL shoulder pads into a more comfortable load-bearing milkmaid's yoke. Sean Young.
Harrison?
Tentatively steps forward, knocks over vase.
Can I ask a question?
Turns, bumps picture off wall.
Would you hunt me?
Shatters window. Harrison Ford.
No, I owe you one. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to nap shirtless with a drink, as I do when the guests are over. You do you.
Sean Young.
I shall try your piano.
Sits down, slams all 88 keys at once with shoulders.
What an excellent tone it has. Perhaps it would be even nicer if my hair were down.
Lifts arms, tugs lightly. 12 tons of curly, thick hair flop all over the room.
Much better.
Plays for 3 seconds. Harrison Ford.
Your rigid, monotonous playing of like 2 different chords has gotten me super hard. Let's fuck.
Sean Young.
No, wait. I'm confused. I've just learned my entire life is a lie. I'm not even human. I just shot somebody. I couldn't be in a worse place mentally and emotionally right now. Only a total asshole would take advantage of my current state.
Harrison Ford.
Damn it, woman. There is lewd saxophone music playing. That means it is booty time.
Sean Young. Sighs. Interior, Terrell Corporation. Rutger has convinced William to use his flying car to take him to see Terrell. They get in the elevator and buzz up. Terrell, over intercom.
Who the fuck's trying to visit so goddamn late?
This better be something really fucking urgent, like perhaps the chess game I'm playing remotely with one of my underlings at a pace of one move every several days.
William Sanderson glances nervously at Rutger.
Queen to bishop 6, 1992 director's cut. Queen to rook 5,
briefcase cut.
Bishop to queen 4,
TV broadcast cut.
Flip the board and punch yourself in the nards,
final cut.
Queen to bishop 6, check.
Tyrell.
What a curious move. I take your queen.
William Sanderson.
Not to rook 7, checkmate.
Tyrell.
Holy fuck, I was 2 moves away from being checkmated this whole time. How did my allegedly super genius brain not see that when even moderately good players are supposed to think 4 or 5 moves ahead? Get the fuck up here.
They ascend up to Tyrell's senior citizen fuck palace. Rutger Hauer.
Surprise. It's really me who's come to see you. I was hoping you could fix that thing when we die.
Tyrell.
Afraid not. But on the bright side, the Nexus 7 model has wireless headphones and 2 cameras, so really that more than makes up for a battery that dies quicker than people's interest in Blade Runner 2049, right?
Rutger Hauer, squeezing Tyrell's head.
Enough with the goddamn anachronisms, old man.
Thumbs plunge into eye sockets. Tyrell, dying.
Urk, ack, tell Skynet it was me.
Dies. Rutger drops Tyrell's lifeless body and also kills William off-screen somehow, like you even care. Rutger Hauer.
Now, to leave William's corpse here and go back to his place. And along the way, catch a movie or something so the cops can show up, ID him, and get there before I do.
Exterior, rain-soaked, trashy, ugly, wretched streets of Los Angeles. Harrison is once more stuffing his face with street food when he gets the call about William. Figuring the remaining replicants might be hiding in William's house, he thoughtfully calls ahead, so they have plenty of time to lay a trap. He then takes his flying car over to William's building and enters, gun at the ready. Harrison Ford.
Shit, this place is full of dolls and mannequins. I guess the smart play would be to blast anything human-sized and sort it out later, but instead, let's get a real close look at this one's makeup.
Daryl Hannah springs into action and begins utterly pulverizing Harrison, then gets him into a leg choke and twists his neck or something and is about to leg strangle him dead. Harrison Ford, turning purple.
Okay, yes, I really do suck at blade running.
Daryl Hannah.
Well, shit, I can't be the one who wins. Oh crap, I wasn't expecting Harrison to use that clever trick of me letting go and walking away. Fuck it.
Daryl decides to switch to practicing floor exercises until finally Harrison gets his shit together enough to shoot her. She emits a very long death scream just as Rutger finally shows up.
Rutger Hauer.
Curb stomps Harrison all over building. Harrison Ford. Reduced to base... Harrison Ford. Reduced to base elements.
Rutger Hauer. As final battles go, this is underwhelming me a wee bit. Here, have your gun back.
Harrison manages to wound Rutger and then sets about trying to escape. Meanwhile, Rutger runs around making wolf howls and does some kitchen reno with his face until Rutger Hauer.
Urk, body dying. Need injection of pure symbolism. I'll just have to drive this nail through my palm.
Does so.
Not quite enough. Perhaps if I pierce my side with this spear.
Does so.
Or maybe this crown of thorns will do it.
Turns water to wine.
Ah, just enough. Here I come.
Harrison Ford.
With Rutger howling and stomping about everywhere, I could probably slip past him and walk out the front door. Or to the roof we go.
Being without his flying car, Harrison tries to jump to the next building but winds up dangling from the ledge. Rutger Hauer.
Bah, I'll make that jump easily, while holding a small bird, no less. Any other hugely symbolic objects I can randomly grab? No? Right then.
Jumps across. Rutger reaches down and saves Harrison using his nail hand, pulls him up with his fisherman's net and lays him away in a manger, then settles in to do his moving final death speech.
Rutger Hauer,
melancholy.
I've seen things, you people.
Edward James Olmos, overhead.
Hey guys, can I land my car now? I'm running out of fart fuel.
Harrison Ford.
Fuck's sake, hold your horses, dude. We're having a moment here.
Sorry, Rutger.
You were saying?
Rutger Hauer blinks, sighs.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
1982 version.
Sly Stallone firing at me with a dress and a wig on.
1992 director's cut.
A sword and sorcery flick entirely scored by the Alan Parsons Project.
2007 final cut.
Whatever the fuck Omega Doom was.
Pause.
Now all these moments will be lost. Unstreamed. Like,
gulp,
Sam Neill as Merlin.
Pause.
Time
to die.
Dies. Rutger dies, and Harrison stares, and rain falls, and finally Edward decides to stop jerking it and lands his fart car already. Edward James Olmos.
It's too bad the story won't be left alone, but then again, what does?
Interior Harrison's dreary, crappy, dirty poop apartment. Harrison takes his flying car home and finds both Sean Young and Origami of a Unicorn. Director's cut.
What?
Harrison Ford, voiceover.
So yeah, we got away and drove into the utterly incongruous lush green countryside. Turned out Sean was a special replicant that could live forever, and our car had infinite fuel, and we had perfect awesome sex every night surrounded by money and gourmet pizza. And we lived happily ever after in the land of gumdrops and kittens and Harrison Ford. No, 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 fuck right the hell off. Nobody's ruining our gritty SF noir epic, damn it. We're going to cut right when the elevator door closes and people are just going to have to wonder how it all resolves. We're not spelling out what happens. That would cheapen everything. It's going to stay open-ended and ambiguous. You hear me?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, about that.
And Movie Snark is a project of Bad Maria Media. Visit badmariamedia.org for more.